When I was young, I remember I had a Dr. Seuss book called And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. Does anyone remember this book? To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry? A few people. It was a story about a young boy who imagines all sorts of weird and wonderful things parading down a street in his town named Mulberry Street. And up until very recently, Jazz Theo and I lived not on Mulberry Street, but we did live on Edgeworth David Avenue. And what did I see while living on Edgeworth David Avenue? Well, a few things struck me during the time that we lived there. First of all, the crowds of families walking up to and back from Waitara Public each and every school day. Secondly, the units being built in the blocks surrounding Mark Taylor Oval. And thirdly, the crowds of people in the summer months who spill out of those units onto the Oval after dinner time. A crowd that in particular has lots of Indian faces. And unlike the book, these are not imaginary crowds. These are the crowds that are going up and down perhaps the busiest road in our suburb. These are the sheep, many of whom I'm assuming are without their shepherd. Let's take the first group in particular, the crowds that are walking to and from our local primary school. I've included some numbers there on the outline, and they tell a remarkable story. These are the numbers given to me by the school office. Enrolments at the school numbered 656 in 2013. Last year they were 726. This year they are 870. That's a jump of almost 150 in 12 months. That's incredible. Some of you have seen the building plans that have been drawn up for Waitara Public School. I haven't seen them, but someone this week told me that we're talking four-storey buildings, a major development to lift their capacity. Many of these families are the Indian families who have moved into the units surrounding Mark Taylor Oval. So the crowds that you see in the different times and different places on Edgeworth David Avenue, they aren't different crowds. They're the one crowd meeting in different places. What does it mean for us? Well, first of all, it means a number of things. But first of all, it can simply mean we need more scripture teachers to help us on Wednesday mornings, 9:15 to 10:45. If you can spare that time, even as a classroom assistant, that would be of great help. But it also means that our regular children's ministry is important as ever, not only for the sake of our children, but also for the sake of these children's families. This is why I wanted you to hear Anne and Jody's story this morning. Because here is a family whose story I would love to see replicated many times over within our suburb. Blaze was the first one to find a connection with the church. You note the progression. And through him, his parents became exposed to the teaching about Christ. And then his sister, Bryony, became exposed to the teaching of Christ, and now the third generation learning about Jesus and their salvation that's available in him. Every now and again in church circles, there's a bit of a catchphrase that people like to throw around because it sounds very strategic. They say, if you win the family's father, then you'll win the family. And that may be true. I think the reality that we're actually seeing is that if you win the children, then the parents can also follow. This is something that's borne out in the research that people are conducting into effective churches and how effective churches operate. I can think of one person, an American researcher called Paul Borden, who says, really, there are three things you want to be concentrating on. You want to be getting your Sunday services right. You want to be making sure people are being made to feel welcome and finding a pathway into your community. And you need to concentrate on children's work. If the children are happy, the parents will follow. It's a reality that seems to be borne out in churches across the world. Which means here at Waitara, we're in a good position. Earlier in the year, I asked our staff team at a staff meeting, I said, what do you think we do best here at church? If you were to boil it down to just a handful of things, what are the things you think we do best? And it didn't take long for us to come up with an answer that was pretty clear. Three things. We teach the Bible well. That's the first thing. The second thing, we seek to welcome people of varying cultural backgrounds. And the third thing is that we work hard on children's ministry. We teach the Bible, we're multicultural, we work hard on children's ministry. And the same kinds of things have emerged when we conducted last year's survey of Bible study groups. The same kinds of things became apparent in the responses we received. If our mission as a church, and this is what we've been talking about over the last 2 months or so, if our mission as a church is to grow more like Jesus, then the strategy we're going to incorporate to do that is we're going to teach the Bible well. We're going to teach the Bible well to people of different cultures. And we're going to teach the Bible well to children. These are the things we're going to do. They're not the only things we will do. We need to continue on persevering in prayer. There are all sorts of other wonderful things. Last week we heard about the ministry of game. You know, that's a wonderful thing we need to continue doing. But these, I think, are the three areas of focus that both reflect our strengths and also the nature of the suburb that we find ourselves in. And I think once we recognise that, that's a very powerful thing to recognise. Something we're strong on and something that our suburb needs. So what's the next step? Well, at our July Parish Council meeting, we received an update on our children's ministry from Richard and Emily, who are the two people we pay in order to facilitate that ministry. Not the only people who work hard in it, but the two people who we're paying some money for. And one of their recommendations was that we start thinking about a new ministry to primary age children held after school on a Friday, with the aim of opening up another avenue of connection with that age group. I believe Emma Spire is also a name that's behind this idea. Emma and Richard worked together very hard with Emily in our children's ministry. In that meeting was Leonie Morrison, one of our parish councillors, and also a leader in our Friday night youth group. Leonie heard this and her first thought was, of course, this is one step that's absolutely needed because we need some kind of feeder into our youth ministry as well. And so I think a very clear next step has been laid out for us, born out of an understanding of our context, an understanding of our strengths, an understanding of the people we have available to us. A very clear next step. We ought to increase our ministry to children. The first step in doing that is by seeking to establish an afternoon children's ministry on Friday afternoons. To do this, we'd like to do a couple of things. We want to increase Richard Spire's hours that he works every week. Richard is a trained youth and children's minister. He's not here in this room right now because he's running our children's program this morning. He's a trained youth and children's minister who has studied and received his qualification from the Youth Works College, specialist training college for this kind of ministry. He teaches scripture every week together with Emma and Emily. He forms the backbone of our weekly children's ministry on Sunday. Leonie, who's here, sitting in the front row, has recently left her career as an architect, is studying at Moore Theological College with her husband, Matt. And as a volunteer, Leonie helps to run our 6:45 youth service, also our Friday night youth program. And what we would like to do is employ Leonie as a student minister alongside her husband, Matt, and have her lead this new children's ministry as part of her job alongside Richard. Also, it's worth saying, Leonie's story is a wonderful one. Would you say you came to faith really here through our church? You're nodding your head. Came to faith through our church, was nurtured through the fellowship we have here, through a terrible life experience, has met Matt, gotten married here, has continued to grow through attendance at Bible study and involvement in ministry, and has now had a shift in career out of architecture into training for ministry. And I, assuming Matt and Leonie, they're not going to be here forever. We're going to send them out somewhere. And I just think that whole progression is a wonderful model of what it is we want to see replicated time and time again. People coming to faith, people growing in the faith, people being trained in ministry, people deciding, you know what, I'm going to go off and I'm going to be involved in a pretty significant way in a ministry somewhere else. And so I'm asking us to invest in Leonie as she continues along this path. We're starting to build a specialist children's ministry team over time. I'd love to develop specialist teams for each of those three major strategic areas. Children's ministry, a team specialising in evangelising and welcoming and reaching out to the different cultures that we have in our area here in the Hornsby District. A specialist Bible teaching team to improve and expand upon the Bible ministry that we have already. There are a few other things we want to do as well. Looking at 2018, we want to continue to lessen our dependence upon the rent we receive from the rectory. And so we'd love to give Emily and Mark a rent reduction, which also acts as a bit of a pay rise for Emily. And so there are a number of things we want to do. And the bottom line is that together with the wardens and parish council, I would like us to see us raise $22,000 over the next few weeks. $22,000 to see us make a renewed attempt to start speaking to the crowds that we see gathering in different places around our suburb. Jazz and I are starting us off. This morning we transferred $1,000 into the church account. $1,000 to get us towards this $22,000 goal. I'd love to hold up a cheque, but I don't own a chequebook anymore because who uses cheques anymore? I don't. But that was transferred this morning. I say that not as a boast, but rather to display some level of leadership. So now we're looking for $21,000 to help us make a start on this renewed attempt to reach these different crowds. Will you join with us? Join with us as we continue down what I think is a clear and obvious strategy to pursue. The details of our bank account are on the back of the bulletin you would have received. All you need to do is in the description field, say Celebration Sunday 2017. Or if your field doesn't allow you to have that many characters, Celeb Sun or something like that. So people know what it is that this is going towards. But it was interesting. In a staff meeting a few weeks ago, Nick Spire said, you know, sometimes in ministry, there's just a few things line up. And you kind of think, well, perhaps this is what the Holy Spirit would have us do. And we kind of definitely have that feeling now. It's born out of our context. It's born out of the people we have who are willing to take on this role. It's born out of, as a church, what our culture is already like. We want to build on that and take it further. Will you join with us?